The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What's going on, people? As we come across summer, it is a new time to see us. I'm so excited about these last few road dates that we got left. June 10th, you guys can catch us at the Secret Group, Houston, Texas. If there's anything left down there, y'all wildin'. Put the guns away, y'all. I'm not coming down there until y'all put the guns away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we coming if y'all act the fuck right.
But a more safer show, never thought I'd hear this, New York City.
New York City.
July 20th, fucking City Winery.
City Winery, black-ass comedy show. Get them tickets. Come on out. It's going to be a fucking barn burner. We're going to burn the winery down, y'all.
Let's get into this.
The thing is, I don't pleasure read. I usually read to, if it's like the tutorial or, you know.
Correct.
To learn something. I don't like pleasure read.
I read
to,
scripts.
And this is when
that's the only thing I like reading.
And see, I didn't have that.
I don't get no phone calls. Derek.
I read scripts.
Or callbacks.
No. And I'm only saying that Derek. Because, listen, wait. I don't want flexing. I want flexing.
I don't have a relationship with Peacock Derek.
That shit did come out kind of ass. That shit
I just read scripts.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Stop.
The effects work.
Did they?
No need for apologies.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? And welcome to another splendiferous episode of No Need for Apologies. I'm the God, Dave Temple.
And I'm the great boy, Derek Gaines.
And you guys are in for a special treat, man. We got a special guest.
Yeah.
So glad this dude has finally made it in, man. So glad this dude has finally parachuted back into NYC and had enough time to stop by the great, the legendary Mr. Brian Babylon.
Brian Babylonian.
Great boy. In the building.
Brian Babylonian.
How you doing, man?
Woo!
How you been, man?
Brothers, let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
Eyeball to eyeball. And I had to put on my glasses because Derek had his on. Real talk.
Yeah.
So happy to be here. So happy to see y'all.
Yeah.
And real talk, I didn't see you. I met up with Derek at the Cellar. It was like Thursday or something.
Yeah, it was the stand.
Right, and I just at the stand and the cellar.
Yeah, we was all there.
And you know, I saw. I just moved here last week.
Oh shit! Okay,
Brian Babylon is in New York finally.
Brian Babylon in New York.
In New York, baby, finally. And I got to see all my, I'll be real, black comedy family.
Oh okay.
Yeah. You know, so in the first week, I seen Derek. I seen Sam J, Marcus. You know what I'm saying? Alex.
Oh, yeah, you know what
I'm saying? Here. We in there.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, this is what I needed. LA was horrible. Jesus Christ.
He's telling everybody.
Lord have mercy.
That is the general consensus.
On my soul, LA is the worst.
Natural hellscape.
On my mama.
Yeah.
It's a hellscape.
How long were you out there?
I moved from Chicago going on 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, once you leave your home, like that's when you're really doing comedy. You know what I'm saying? You know how that
agreed.
Had that sort of safety net of, oh, I got a day job, then I go do these shows. Nah, man, you in these fucking comedy streets.
You in the streets, bro.
In these streets, right? So yeah. I moved out there to work on Hannibal's show, Why, on okay. Comedy Central, right?
Okay.
So when I got there, first thing, had a job, had an office at the Paramount lot.
Talk shit.
Look at, how about now, right?
Right.
Show gets canceled, and then I'm like, oh right,
yeah.
Shows get canceled.
Shows always get canceled,
oh.
Especially out there.
I'm loving the how about now dropping there.
Yeah. How about now?
You think I was flat, bitch? Right. But how about? Wait, the show canceled?
What?
Show canceled? I couldn't even finish the verse. I couldn't even finish the hook.
Right.
I couldn't even finish the fucking hook.
Right.
before the show got canceled.
Talking shit about me. How about that? What? It's canceled.
Done.
Done. So that was like a fun summer camp.
Yeah.
Like, so
right. Right.
I can't go back.
And
to
you
Chicago.
Already put your first and last month's security deposit all on.
Yeah. Well, luckily I was staying with my good homie from Chi, Josh Cheney, and they live like literally right around the corner from Paramount. So I was lucky, right? And then I moved out, and I moved into the Laugh Factory apartments over there on Sunset and Laurel.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, explain this.
So, Jamie Masada, who owns the Laugh Factory, he's a character. I mean, people say what you want, but Jamie Masada, I've known him since I was in Chicago because they opened up a Laugh Factory in Chicago.
Okay.
And that's where he got to know me. He could depend on me to murder,
right.
Keep shit together.
Right.
That's my town, right?
Right, right, right. Uh-huh.
So, when I moved out there, I said, Jamie, I need an apartment. Okay, buddy, I have an apartment across the street. So, it's his house.
Okay.
Why comedy club corners always into so much shit like that?
Oh yeah.
Like, well, that's why I don't give a fuck about comedy. They be like, hey man, if it makes money, it makes money. If it
I'm making money off watered down vodka and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. So I moved in those apartments, and it's different little apartments in this house they've chopped up, and I got depressed.
Holy. Yeah.
Sound like it. You had a chopped up house.
Oh man, I'm telling you something. I was having horrible Groundhog Day shit. You know what I'm saying? Where you wake up and you in LA, you're on Sunset. It's 72 degrees.
Yeah.
You in a shattered mansion.
You in a shattered mansion, and it had no windows.
Oh, wow.
It was a nigga in prison.
It was a front door and a window in the back covered by trees. No right. Sunlight.
This nigga got a casino, no carpet.
You walked to Coffee Bean over in the Sunset.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Mm-hmm. Right? Ronald
Craig,
like, I
know exactly where you're talking about.
And every morning I would see Chris D'Elia there fake reading a book. And I would say, what's up, Chris? Oh, hey, man, what's going on? And we have this fake conversation while he read this fake book. I get coffee, go back, smoke weed, make some beats, take a nap, do a set. That was happening every day. And I started losing my mind.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I had that Tinder baby. And I was like, okay, I need to walk away from this apartment.
you know what he mean by Tinder baby, right?
Yeah. You started getting on the app.
No. I was on the app.
Uh-huh.
And
got a girl pregnant.
Got
from
a
Tinder.
Girl pregnant. With a girl from Tinder.
Okay. Oh shit.
Wonderful times.
Somebody shut the club up.
Right. Wonderful times.
And I remember I was like at the W. We was in San Fran. And I saw Dave Chappelle, and he's holding court in the punchline, and I'm just sitting there like. He's like, what's wrong? Wait, what's wrong with you, nigga? And then Ham's like, tell him. I was like, well, Dave, I'm about to have a Tinder baby. And he was like, nigga, what's a Tinder baby?
Nigga, what's a Tinder baby?
Nigga, what's a Tinder baby?
That's so funny.
So I told him, like, well, Dave, sometimes a motherfucker shouldn't be in his 40s popping mollies and drinking and, you know what I'm saying? Like, like he a trap rapper. 40-year-old black man can't be trap rappers.
Say it again for the people in the back there, Brian.
40-year-old middle-aged black man cannot be trap rappers.
Hey,
grow the fuck
say
up.
Say that one more time for me because I want that so bad. I want that life so bad. Say it one more time for me,
hey,
please.
Hey, Derek, I know it seems fun. I know you want to do some Jay Morant type of thing.
Say that one more time for me,
but 40-year-old middle-aged black man could never... And will never be a trap rapper.
So yes, don't act trap rapper.
Don't act trap rapperish.
Stop impregnating girls from Tinder. Sounds fun though, but go ahead, keep going.
It was a great mistake. I love my baby girl.
Okay, so at least it was.
Oh no, and this was
because that's the thing. I always can respect that if somebody can be like, hey, look, but making it was fun.
Yeah.
Because that's also helped. Like, my baby, I ain't gonna interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Tell the story, but like, that's I think what makes kids. Good or bad.
Okay. Yes.
Was it fun making your conception or whether it was some bullshit?
Okay.
Like, I think if your conception was some bullshit, you're going to be a bullshit person.
Yeah, it was okay. Fun because I was on drugs.
Yeah.
It was
that's
a great
Molly
time.
Baby.
The Molly baby.
Exactly.
Molly babies are beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
Molly baby is wonderful. It's all euphoric and fun. So I put all that good spirit into the baby.
So here's the deal. I'm like in depressed, right? Okay. Saying I'm having this conversation with Dave. And he said, well, congratulations, nigga. I'm like, congratulations. Did you hear the words come out of my mouth? Dave Chappelle, I'm having a Tinder baby.
Okay.
Then he said this. He said, was the baby healthy? I'm like, yeah, it looks like it's going to be healthy. He says, is the baby mama cool? I'm like, well, actually, yeah, she hasn't really given me problems. Nigga, fuck you. You'll be fine. I thought you were going to tell me some real shit like, Dave, I have cancer. You're going to be fine, nigga. He said, you can suck titties whenever you want to without any legal repercussions. And you're going to be a father?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
And
he's right.
And from that moment, I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a receipt that not only that, as a 40-year-old man, you was killing it on Tinder.
There you go, bro. You was out here and you was slinging. Let's boy was real. Slinging. Hey, might as well been doing that Tinder shit with the head of your dick, nigga.
Yeah, she can get it. Yep.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it was a one and done. Don't tell me like you striked out 30 times and hit one and hit the jackpot. You know what I mean?
Back then, because I'm done with that lifestyle, but back then.
Oh, so the baby's here.
Oh, she's six.
Oh.
Oh, no. Nah. She grown. She grown.
That's a whole
so beautiful
grown,
child. You did
a
it.
A whole grown person.
That's
dog.
A grown. She had an afro.
He was
nigga.
Casually throwing the term Tinder baby around like, yeah, she's
I
never going to hear
Tinder
this.
I love my Tinder baby.
Like,
she's six.
She's six.
She in
this
first grade.
This could be a clip on TikTok. You never know.
Yeah, she is half my size. She's gigantic.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, what's going on? Hey, how you been? Blah, blah, blah.
Congratulations, though, man. Yeah,
but, yeah, but you know what? But that gives you motivation. That gives you, you know, I'm still going to be me. But that helps you.
You Brian Babylon.
I'm Brian Babylon. But that helps you really effectively manage your brain.
Yeah.
Your brain, you know.
Speaking of, I actually got my first appointment, the official consultation. I think it's July either 18th or the 22nd. First one about that snip snip.
You that's getting the facet?
That's the first
that
official.
Getting the facet. Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting that thing. You know
that
mean?
Nigga said
I got two
clip,
kids
clip.
Already. I got
oh,
two. Yeah,
that my boy getting his tubes tied.
My daughter's at 18 and 12, so I'm just trying to make sure that I don't do the 40-year-old
starting over from the rip. Stop. Stop.
I think this is going to be some opposition to the vasectomy.
What are you
that's
talking
opposition
about?
To the vasectomy face.
No, it's not. I'm tripping on how old are you? Like
40.
You look amazing.
Yeah.
This could be running like Forrest.
Well, I got rid of the kids and family once we all broke up. Did you see the way I look?
Ain't got no family
in the beginning
no more.
I had a big old missing patch of hair on the side of my head and all that. Like, I mean, it just I was holding it down, but whew.
Because now you can live your life. 12 and 18.
Living his life, bro.
You can live.
He got me working out in the park in the sunshine.
Right. I became a dad very young. This is my first time even having my own room. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, I've never even had my
Benjamin
own
Button.
Room. You know what I mean?
You're like, about to kick it. I kind of went the opposite way. Like, I still kick it, but then I still have this, like, mental weight of a six-year-old. But when your kid's 18, that 18-year-old is like a, you know what I'm saying? Like a, I want free. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like Shawshank. We out in the rain, like, shh.
Bro, I never forget when I went down there to child support to even talk about the last payments, and they was like, oh, no, you already done. You got like a $20 balance left, but once you pay that, you're out of here. And I'm talking about it was literally.
You didn't
got $20? Like, the nigga hit me up. Right. Yo, let me borrow $20 real quick. Yo, Venmo me $20
right now.
I was like, for real? He was like, nigga, it's bigger than you know. Bro, it's a bigger picture. I was like, $20.
I never forget. I was walking around. It was last November. I was walking around Philadelphia. They had put the Christmas tree. I had never been so happy to see the Christmas tree up early. Like, nigga, it's
October. You saw
it's
life
beautiful.
A whole
this nigga heard the temptation. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, because I still remember the day the judge banged the gavel on me.
With the gavel.
With the first Merry order of support. Christmas. You know what I mean? And you're just like, wow. But it's just like anybody else giving you the bid, and you're like, wow.
This nigga had a miracle on 34th Street.
I'm finished. I walked out.
Let me just say something. Hold on. And I don't even.
Congrats.
Luckily, I'm not. I don't even do court stuff. I've never been in any court shit. You know what I'm saying? I've worked it out. But that when I hear stories of niggas in like. Court stuff?
When bro. He said the gavel bang, he was done.
That's because that's like being low-key in jail. That's being in jail but free.
Yeah, because you got to come up with that money or your freedom can be taken away from you. It was actually, so it was the same thing where
your ass up.
It was a blessing in disguise because there was a fire on my ass.
Yeah.
And it was a fire on my ass before I graduated college. So there was no... Like
I'm gonna find myself. You better be found.
You better be here, nigga. You got.
I'm gonna go
right
to Europe and find myself,
bro.
I'm gonna take a gap year,
bro. And when I'm telling you, when I graduated school, no jobs for like I got a degree in math and economics, right? So like all of that, I knew better than to be a teacher. I knew that wasn't for me.
No.
I knew that wasn't for me.
Yeah,
right? But like it was hard finding a job in the first thing. So before you knew it, I was landscaping, bro. I
was real money, yeah.
Right. Grass always going to grow.
Grass always
going to grow.
And it always
bro.
Need to be cut.
Grass always going to grow, boy.
Like, I went from on that's a university.
Slavey, that's the most slave thing. Let me tell you something. Grass gonna always grow.
Grass gonna always grow.
That's the most slavey
shit. It's gonna be some more cotton picked. Yeah.
But you know that. Those are three jobs in the hood. If you come in, if you fresh home and you need work, landscaping, barbershop, or funeral.
Yep. Like, everybody dying.
Niggas gonna die, grass gonna grow, hair gonna grow.
Hair gonna grow. Niggas gonna die, grass gonna grow, hair gonna damn sure grow.
Was that a line from Raising in the Sun?
It should be.
You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something here. Grass and hair gonna always grow.
David Temple presents
and people always
his
gonna
Raising
die.
In the Sun. Happened when he was in his late 30s.
Man.
That's good shit.
So I love that, man.
The Emancipation of Dave.
Well, let me just say this. Now that I know that, we're going to hang out much more because I'm a great guy to help people elevate lifestyles.
Oh, nice, man. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
He got, you know, he good, the motherfucker. He got niggas working out. And fucking, he got me shit reading books. And
yeah,
fucking,
I'm a very humble man. I'm very humble
this
with all
my motherfucker made me smarter. He going the road with me everywhere.
Yeah.
We
it's a
colossal.
Lot of,
yeah.
We going to have fun, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm now living that life through you for you.
Yeah.
And I'm kicking it with my boy, Dave.
And here's the crazy thing, though. This is the funny thing I'm learning about myself, that it's not, because I did a lot of reckless stuff when I was a kid, too. Obviously, becoming a dad at such a young age was a product of that kind of reckless lifestyle. So, like, now my lifestyle is like, well, I wonder what happens if I do the other thing. Like, just like, what happens if I get up and go jogging in the morning? Like,
I know.
How does
I
that
know.
Like?
and after a week, you're like, why haven't I been jogging every
morning? Why haven't I been doing
it? So hold on, rewind. This is your podcast. Rewind. The vasectomy is how we got off of
yes,
this tangent.
Yes.
I now I first I was like, no way, but now that you told me 12 and 18,
Yeah.
Do that.
I just want to be able to get back to being a young, reckless splooger. Splooger. Yeah.
Can I ask an ignorant question?
Go ahead.
And I should know this. If you get a vasectomy, can you still bust a nut on somebody's face?
Yes. It's just you're shooting blanks.
It's a dirty Sprite.
Yeah,
that's all
it is.
Sprite. That's all it is.
So apparently I'm back in the game at like 2 days. You know what I mean? Like it's just I'm in and out. Local anesthesia.
Outpatients or local. I kind of want to be asleep for that.
I know. I kind of want to also, but I think they done did it so much, and it ain't that profitable now. Where they like, nah, you getting that local?
Doc, when you come back, can you tell people? Do they put like a sheet over you, like how Jewish people have sex?
That's what. Or? So I'm gonna learn everything. And I'm gonna keep y'all posted because this is new for me too. Yeah. Like even my first appointment, I'm going nowhere near the snippy guy. Like this.
No,
is just,
you just got to get the orientation. You got
to
read.
And I scheduled this shit like last month, so that's how bad. Like they give you time to think about this shit. You know what I mean?
Now, can men, how women store eggs, can men store sperm? I guess they can, right?
Yeah, I think you can freeze it.
They're sperm banks.
Yeah,
they're sperm banks.
Oh, matter of fact, shit, we don't even have this story. Nat, see if you can find this. There was a guy, they actually just banned him.
He impregnated, fathered 550 kids.
Yeah,
like
I forgot what country he was in, but there was a guy
who was
donating mad sperm, but he was like lying and doing whatever he could get paid. And a bunch of women apparently bought it, and he's got like mad kids.
Was that a Vince Vaughn movie?
I think so, yes.
Didn't Vince Vaughn do some shit
like
that?
Yes, yes. Hi there, responsible adults over the age of 21 living in states where Delta 8 is legal.
It's legal.
Yeah, do you want to get high?
Mm.
Really high?
Say what?
Really super duper legally high.
That's really high.
Yeah, well then now it's time to go to yodelta.com where you can stock up on high quality,
high qual,
lab tested,
high qual,
Delta 8.
Wow, Delta 8.
That was a lot that came up there. That's that lab shit right there.
That's that lab stuff.
If you are over the age of 21 and you're living in the majority of the states where this is legal, well, go to yodelta.com and stock up on Delta 8. Now, what is Delta 8?
What
I'm
is
surprised
Delta
you're still asking this question, even though we've explained it to you over
and over again.
Now, I'm just going to tell you this. It's found in hemp, and it can be legally shipped to various states and get you high.
Hi.
At yodelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all of your getting stone needs. Remember
gummies
we was in Saratoga Springs, we had them gummies?
Gummies and vapes.
Gummies did the trick because we couldn't find no leaf around. So I can tell you Delta 8 works, and these products should be taking responsibility.
Responsibly. We'll take it responsibly.
Okay. Whatever. But if you go to yodelta.com and you put in the
promo code GAS.
GAS.
G-A-S at the checkout. You're going to get 25%
at
off.
The goddamn
Once
checkout.
More, that's promo code GAS, G-A-S, for 25% off. Yo Delta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super high.
Let's get back to the show.
Sperm donor who fathered 550 children ordered to stop.
Hey, slow down on that nut. We don't want no more of your nut.
You know what's so funny? Though. Spike Lee did that better on She Hate Me. Remember She Hate Me, that movie? When Papa Doc was fucking all the lesbians and he was giving them
who
kids that way.
Who was that? Who started
That's
that?
The nigga that played Falcon, Papa Doc.
That's what name. I thought.
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie, him.
Yeah, man, that was one of my favorite movies because it started off great, right?
Yeah.
His first five bitches, all of them was bad, right? And then after a while, they start turning into WNBA players. And
come
in, big brother bitches, and then some of them was these Russian weirdos who was 6 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did it because he got $10,000 a crack, nigga.
And that's what I'm saying. How you gonna be mad at him?
10 G's a pop.
Here's the thing. If his sperm was picked 550 times, it's not like he's adding nothing bad to the pool. Clearly.
It becomes a problem for like the gene pool of like all of a sudden people are siblings and they don't realize it.
Yeah, it becomes some like Iceland shit.
Oh shit! Because everybody related.
Yeah, because in Iceland there's an app to make sure you're not fucking your cousin.
Wow,
huh?
Yeah,
isn't that wild?
That's funny.
I'm attracted to this bitch. I don't know why. Because she looked just like you.
It's fascinating how much that's in there. Brian, I don't know why I feel like. Islam, you know Islam, studied it at all, or
I've eaten a bean pie here.
I burned some incense. Yeah. I think it's just
the name Babylon gives me feel like this nigga woke. He knows some shit, right?
No, I mean I'm 0%.
Okay, no,
Babylon.
I had read the Quran during the pandemic, and
a lot of people did.
There's
man.
The second chapter is that's all it is who you can and cannot fuck.
Yeah.
And it's very fascinating that they had to put this mental harness on people and the intellect that it appeals to at that time. But it was like, oh, this has always been a problem.
Well, you know, back then people weren't as bright, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they was like, hey, that's not a person. Stop fucking that. That's not that's a horse.
Right, right.
Oh, my bad. And then, can I ask you a personal question?
Uh-oh.
What kind of read was the Quran?
Yo. Wild.
You know what I'm saying? What kind of, you know, you read the Bible, you get how it's worded and how the stories.
How's the read?
How is the read?
The read.
Is it choppy? Is it smooth?
It's actually, it's jarring because you can tell who they're talking to an aggressive group of people.
Like the people you see protesting in Iran.
No. But like you,
that
you can tell it's still Neanderthal-ish, almost apish.
Yeah.
They're who they're talking to. Like, hey, man.
All the letters got their shoulders up.
But that's the read. You feel like it's written almost in a panic of like, all right, let me try to make this sound calm, but I need to get this under control.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it feels like someone's memoirs on like, and make them feel like it's the words of God to be like, hey.
Calm down.
Chill out.
Yeah. Right.
Because, I mean, everyone... It basically speaks to a lot of impulse control.
Okay. Because, they uptight. You can't do this.
Correct.
You can't do that. You can't boo-boo here. You got it this, you know.
Correct.
A lot of rules, man.
A lot of rules.
Yeah.
A
lot of rules, someone who was very able to zoom out and be like, that's a problem, that's a problem, that's a problem. You know what I mean? And it appealed to me because my mind works like that. I sometimes can ruin my own fun by being in a situation and I'm so busy spotting all the dangers, all of
you're a math and economics major. You think on a logical scale, don't you?
I guess so, man.
On a more calculated...
Math, you deal in absolutes and what's real, you know what I mean? And you add that to my fucking childhood.
You know what? Like... Now that makes sense because I've had like a relationship with two Muslim women who were in heart. They wore hijabs in Muslim marriages and they were about to get divorced. So I was sort of like, the rebound dude?
Yeah.
Their energy was like, what's going on? What's wrong? You know what I'm saying? Their energy was so, like, inexperienced, but still wild. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know what to, you know what I'm saying? Like, sort of like a 14 to 16-year-old is like, I want to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just attack, but they don't know why. You know, it's like really, I'm realizing.
And for some reason,
I can attest to that.
I think the tactic on suppressing that was more of a hard jab to suppress it than a coaxing. Like, that's why it's fascinating. Like, in Philly, huge population, huge. and a lot of it is jailhouse, right? So like when I was back in Philly, one of my hustles,
meaning like a Malcolm X person who goes
people
to jail.
Go to jail and then they find it there. Yeah, you know what I mean? Which there's two reasons for that. One is protection, and two, your ego's always going to seek higher or something superior once it's been clobbered. And jail will do that to you. Jail will tear your ego apart.
I hear you can take your shahada in mess hall.
It is pretty simple, but what I always thought was very fascinating was even the people that I knew that would convert, how aggressive they were even before finding Islam. So it was like, it was almost seemed like this kind of, that's what made me read it, because I was always very, like, the most aggressive dudes I know.
Yeah.
Somehow, that's the only thing that can calm them down. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they're still boiling at the seams, like, on some, I'm ready to kill, but I'm trying to be a good Muslim.
All right, okay.
Does it have a story arc?
No.
You know how the Bible has a couple story arcs?
No, it wasn't that way. It wasn't that way. Like, that's what I said.
The Bible got movies.
It's not cutesy like that. It's not. It is straight to the point. Don't do this. Don't do that.
Any parables?
Right, no.
No parables.
Not like that.
Straight rules.
Jeez, a book of rules?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, because it's kind of... That's why I wanted to do the, what's the name after that? I wanted to do the Torah after that, and then the pandemic opened up. I was like, well, fuck it, we're going outside.
All right, simmer down.
I just want to see whether that was also just rules.
This nigga
like
reads.
That.
If you read, this nigga's smart, man.
You're right. I got to
stop
that.
You know, I'll be hoping he reads so he can school me.
But you know, I think we were talking about that. I don't know, it was Will Sylvan. Who's my man who's in the play? Used to be on SNL.
Dean.
He was talking about, like, he tries to read, like, 2 chapters a day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, reading is, like, this way. But I saw it on a TikTok reel. If you show one word at a time and just speed it up, how fast you can read 500 to 600 words per minute. If you just have the word just pop up in front of you.
Is that why there's all this English on English now?
No.
Because you're just seeing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you just turn it up.
It does help. It helps people process it. But the thing that I've learned that I had to learn with reading and do it consistently, I had to stop reading to finish the book.
Ah, just do it.
I had an hour a day, boom, that's what it is. This is what we do from 11 to 12 every day. That way, there's no excuse not to do it. And you find the story moves along, but the crazy thing is what I go through is you learn the patience of sitting still and allowing the information to come to you as opposed
Does it give you meditation?
Schnigger's
a monk. Absolutely.
Schnigger's
a
Zen God.
Slowing, because that was an aspect. Like, I would find myself, how many more pages I got left? And it's like, what the fuck are you rushing for?
Yeah, I don't pledge. The thing is, I don't pleasure read. I usually read to, if it's like the tutorial or, you know.
Correct.
To learn something, but I don't like pleasure read.
I read
to,
scripts.
And this is when
I
had...
That's the only thing I like reading.
And see, I didn't have that.
I don't get no phone calls. Derek.
I read scripts.
Or call back.
No, and I'm only saying that
Derek.
Because... Listen, wait. I wasn't flexing.
I don't have a relationship with Peacock, Derek.
That shit did come out kind of ass. That shit
I just read scripts.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Stop.
You can watch Bumpkins on Peacock.
I fall asleep when I read... You know, when I try to read novels and shit like that, scripts, because I have to count the rhythm of it.
And the money, I motherfucker. That's what we mean,
rhythm. Yeah. That's a prerequisite. I'm making bread, but I'm not talking about that. The way a scene is supposed to be read keeps me in the game. Because I go, oh, okay, there's a certain speed. There's a certain way these motherfuckers are acting. It's pensive. It's laid back. It's fucking angry. It's like, all right, so now I got to read it with a goddamn groove to it. Because I got to know how to say it back. So I got to memorize dude or whatever she's saying and what the fuck I'm saying so I understand the rhythm of a scene. And that's only, I like reading like that because it just keeps me engaged. Like, all right. Because when you're reading a story and you ain't got no, like I ain't got to memorize it, I'm just reading it.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I will go through that. I went through that a lot. But that's how I had to learn to do it. It was, this is what this hour is for.
Okay.
If you fall asleep and then that alarm go off at noon and you... All right, move on to something else. Whatever you got done is what you got done. But 11 o'clock, we coming back to this tomorrow.
Let me just say something. No need for apologies is breaking ground. When tell me on the podcast where three black men are talking about literacy with such passion.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it is. Don't need to apologize. Right.
We're supposed to be out here going, pussy chicken. Well,
yeah, baby chicken, mama, pussy chicken.
And then you catch it onto the theme of this podcast. Yeah. We talk about, you see these black Air Force Ones on the table, right? What do you know about these sneakers and just the notion around the black Air Force One shoe?
Air Force One, that's Nelly.
No, mm-hmm. The black Air Force ones. Why you make that noise? Give him. He got the dark
forces in him. Well, here's the thing. I'm of course aware of East Coast culture and things like that, but you know, saying some of those things because I'm not super East Coast,
right?
You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, oh, now I get it. Now you played it, got it.
Yeah.
It's not a stretch, but I don't know. Like, oh my God, I would lose my cookout membership in Philly. Oh, he don't know about no black Air Force One. Fuck this, oh, yeah.
Right,
nigga? So, I lost it already. I say shit like viscosity. The hood don't fuck with me no more.
I fucking love that he uses that word. And I watched it.
It's blowing up, nigga. Right now, it's blowing up online.
Terrace in Saratoga Springs, who, for the most part, wasn't enjoying the show. Mm-hmm. And when he got to this line where he drops the word viscosity. I watched a woman go from to viscosity. And I'm like,
she's been wanting to laugh the whole time. She probably wanted to laugh the whole time, but didn't have her in.
And that was her in.
So like, here we go.
Right.
Multi-syllabic word.
And I'm telling you.
And I'm like, involved.
When I saw that, I was like, yeah, you got to keep using that word, man. You gotta keep doing it, man. Yeah.
Let me ask you about these black Air Force Ones. I do remember back when people went to that phase where they were wearing church shirts.
Okay.
Like button downs. Mm-hmm. Remember people?
And this was kind of the dress shoe that people wore. Now that's a completely different narrative.
Well, this is, for a lot of kids now, they're becoming a school sneaker because it's the plain Jane. It had a reputation on adults here as being the shoe of the scumbag because it was always the guy working in the kitchen, the bus driver, or just some dude who was down and out and had nothing to lose. The more dog these shoes were,
because you could be a security guard.
Right.
You could be a security guard.
And we agree with that notion, but we always thought it was weird that everyone glorified the white Air Force One shoe and the guy who wears the white Air Force One over the black Air Force One. When I'm like, guys like that, I know because I was that guy. Like, nah, we're redeemable. We get better on the back end. You know what I mean?
Guys with white Air Force Ones always worry about somebody gonna slip on my shit.
You're too worried about it.
No,
the white Air Force One dudes are the dudes that do this when they walk into the club and they look at bitches like chicken.
Oh yeah, mommy.
White Air Force Ones is getting money, niggas. This is the ones that put the cash up to their face.
But they not really getting money. Yeah, they're just showing off. Anybody that got time to walk around with their sneaks busted open.
And they can't run in a heartbeat.
Nah, because they walking like ducks to keep from creasing the shoes. And these right here, you can fight crime in these.
That's what I'm like. Don't look at this guy like he's crazy. That white Air Force One guy is nuts. You know what I mean? Nuts. In my opinion. So.
It's nuts. And I don't know, I kind of probably skipped over that Air Force One era because I had sneaks, but they were probably what I was wearing. I was wearing some other shit. And you know, plus, I think that was more of an
East Coast thing. Yeah, Chicago.
Brian, different, man.
Well, yeah, because one.
You're a little artsy fart ass.
I remember one time, I remember going to a club in Chicago on the South Side, too. Where the dude told me, and I had on Jordans. I had on Jordan 4s.
Okay.
Just finished doing Zanies or whatever, and I get in line in the club, and dude goes, "You ain't getting in here with them tennis."
With them tennis shoes on.
First of all, he probably was from St. Louis and moved to Chicago.
With them tennis
and that's
on.
Another thing. What? And back home,
tennis shoes.
It was hard to get into places. I really didn't go, but it's hard to get into clubs. You had to wear some like church shoes or regular shoes. You couldn't get in with athletic attire.
Yeah.
You know, even if you had. Even when people start wearing button-down shirts, you know, with cufflinks and then some gym shoes.
You're from my era where there was a sign in front of the club.
Yeah.
No straight-billed hats. No long white tees. No jersey. It was like,
no jersey. You might as well. And the joke for the longest, the stock joke everybody used. Just say you don't want niggas in there. Everybody in a row.
He said, don't say nigga.
But isn't it funny, like, when you see somebody dressed like that today.
You ever see people, like...
I just saw a guy yesterday who dressed like he was from 2003, and I always think he must have just got out of jail.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the last thing.
Yeah, they stuck her where they
got locked up at. Like Pelly Pelly, like eight ball jackets, dudes. Ball jacket. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got out of jail.
Came from jail.
You got the soft toe Reebok, the classics.
Yeah, like
they wearing the 50, where'd you find 5411s at? They might not. And the sad part is they didn't even buy them. They probably had them fresh because they was a dope boy when they went in.
Yeah.
Whoa. And came home to a bunch of fucking a storage unit full of Reebok classics
or Jabos.
Like or Jabot jeans?
Some Jabots.
You know, Jabots already look like you got a fucking house arrest strap on because the way the jeans look.
Yeah, they buckle at the bottom,
so it already look like you got a thing on.
But you know, I think coming up, I was always trying to find that hipster thing like nobody had.
Absolutely.
Like, I would always try to find, like, Lacoste Sportif sneaks or, what was that? A Diadora, you know, this rando shit that was
Diadoras,
you know what I'm saying? Or like that random cool shit. Oh man, what are those? Like, hey man, can't tell you.
Yeah, I'm on that now.
Yeah.
I'm on that now.
Hold on. But now here's the funny thing, because you do that and you do that now, but it also it attracts attention. So how do you respond to the attention? Because like we was in DC and a motherfucker pulled their phone out and just started videotaping this nigga's sneakers. This nigga had some off-white shits on. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, I've never seen shoes like this before. And it's like, oh, okay, but that's a weird thing. That, but it's also like, shit, you wore them. What you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I give people maybe 5 to 10 seconds. And if you can't do it, get out of here.
What
you
mean?
You know, like, I'll let you quickly do it.
Nah, just ask me where they from. I'll tell you and move on.
Oh, I'll let you take a picture. If you want to ask me, okay.
I like a conversation about it.
Yeah. My answer is like, I found them, they're cool, they're size 14. Because big niggas with big feet have the worst problems. You got style.
Where were we when we found that store? Were we in Vegas? No, we was in Austin.
What store?
Austin, 14 and up.
It's a store
that's exclusively...
I know about that store.
And they just ship anywhere, you know what I mean? But they get all of that shit.
I'm going to tell you who told me about it was Nazi Muhammad.
Okay, okay.
He sound like he's 7 foot.
Just about, yeah. He's from Chicago.
Jesus Christ.
He's played...
that's a tall-ass name.
He got two. He got a ring with Kentucky and with the Spurs. So he got, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's my boy. So I was like, man, where you get those from? Like, every time I see him, like, where you get them big-ass cool shoes from? Like, I be... Because you always go to Nike. Like, I told Kanye, he's like, no, you're going to have to make some big feet Yeezus, dog. Like... Because them little slippers will stop at 13. Like, what about?
They did.
They did, like.
I was looking for the. I wanted to try the slides out, and I couldn't find them.
I wear size 12. I'm right on the.
Yeah,
like, you that Tokyo big man. Japanese big dudes. With they little ass feet. Bell curving the shoe
size.
Chinese,
wrong with a size 12?
What them Chinese running shoes you gave me? Them Li Ning shits?
Li Nings.
And they said 12.
Nah.
Them shit.
Nah, those are schmediums.
Nah, I'm true to size. I wear a 12 of Jordan.
Those are
one of them
schmediums.
Little Bigfoot niggas.
I was in Tokyo, man, and first of all, you go over there, it's like being another planet. Because everything, you can't, you know, it's not even letters. It's like, and you're gigantic, everyone else. I went into the Gap, and I got something that was double XL.
Okay.
I'm going to just try shit on in dressing rooms because that's how people get kidnapped. Right? Take it back to my hotel, dog. That shit was hit. Double XL.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
What kind of tween ass.
They go hard. Natalie, see if you can find this TikTok. There was a TikTok about like stores for fat people in Japan.
Oh, and they were showing fat on it.
Dog, even the names of the stores.
Fat store.
They're like, bro, if you're not a -1.
Dog.
Fat.
Dog.
That's what they call you. Fat.
Dog. I was like, look like Shrek in these clothes.
Yeah.
I'm like, it says, I would never buy a double XL, right?
Niggas.
It was a dozen. Even the triple XL would have been tight. Like,
right.
Yeah, where are these Smurf ass people at?
Okay, but
everywhere.
Do you remember when you were younger, did you do the white tee, black tee thing?
Oh.
Were you a part of that corner boy lifestyle?
No,
or that dress?
I was too old for that.
Okay, okay. That was a weird, you found it? Go ahead, play that TikTok there. I'm just curious. Just show the names. Of
Asian plus size.
BB Fat.
BB
Fat.
Yep.
Fat girls.
Fatty fat girls.
Love calories.
Moo Moo. Thai fat. Fat cat.
I'd fuck with that.
You know what? Yeah. That sounds like somebody roasting a fifth grader on the back of the bus.
Right.
You fatty fat.
fat ass top
fatty girl.
But those
girl.
Jokes work the best.
You ever had a little fat mama? Yeah.
You ever heard a little kid mama say to another little kid, "Ew, your breath smell like dookie."
Yeah,
dookie is the dookie. Hardest
I'm
word.
I'm gonna tell you something.
That's one of the best snaps ever.
I still love the word dookie.
Yeah, dookie makes me laugh.
Dookie.
You know funny. What's you know what's so funny? Hanging around white people and you like say little things like, "Oh, that's a dookie." What's dookie? You ever putting white people
on
like
those words.
That sounds funny. What's a dookie?
They don't know those goddamn words.
Like I was walking in San Francisco and out there, it's like Hunger Games out in the Bay now, man. Like the homeless people in New York.
The Asians. Okay.
The homeless people in New York. Mile sauce compared to them.
Really?
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. No, it's wild out there.
It's
bro.
Wild out there.
It's
like,
wild out there.
You'll see people like 17 people in a row smoking meth, shooting up, and then the last dude is giving himself a jailhouse tattoo laying down.
Damn.
Like, goddamn. Yeah. Right? They take
full-blown
shits on the sidewalk.
Shits.
Like, fuck dog shit.
People shit.
People shits. Like, I see corn and Skittles, right? I'm walking with
nice
my
homeless diet.
Yeah, I'm walking corn with my home girl. I'm like, "Ooh, look out, some doo-doo. I'm some dookie right there."
Uh-huh.
She's like, "What? What's dookie?" She's like, "Whoa, what's dookie?
What's dookie?" She went up and down.
We went on a rampage last week teasing homeless people because we had an experience with homeless people in D.C. We felt like the homeless were pretty aggressive in D.C., only to come back to New York and find out they choking homeless people to death on the train. You know what I mean?
I was on the
F train coming here, and it stopped a few times. I'm like, "Oh shit, it's happening again."
Yeah. Wait, what was?
Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
I haven't. I haven't heard the whole story.
A white guy choked out and killed.
Yeah.
This Michael Jackson impersonating.
That was the
Was
boy.
It Mike? See, I didn't even get all those details.
Now the media saying Michael Jackson impersonator murdered by ex-Marine.
Proof on how you can spin it because when I first heard the story,
why did
somebody choked an aggressive homeless man on the train?
And he was. They still saying
that. My initial instinct was good.
You had to kill him.
You didn't.
He didn't.
You didn't, but the way it was positioned, 24-year-old man chokes a 30-year-old aggressive homeless man who was aggressively asking for it. I was all on board.
So
then hours after hours, more details came in. The homeless dude was black.
They spit in the race
car.
And
the guy was white.
Guaranteed, if Derek Gaines, a.k.a. that great boy, if you choked out the same man, would nobody say shit?
Not a thing.
It wouldn't
that's
be on the news.
On black, bro.
Nobody would be protesting.
That's just phony as fuck.
That's just
something they do on the train.
Right? Now the
niggas
fact,
kill each other all the time.
Now the media saying ex-Marine kills Michael Jackson.
Ex-Marine.
Now
he's 24 years old.
And he's an ex-Marine.
He sounds like he's John Rambo.
Dog. Who the fuck?
Now people are protesting.
What he was doing, huh? Michael Jackson.
Bro, they were on the tracks this weekend. They was on the tracks holding the train up this weekend.
That's horrible.
I'm so glad I stayed in Brooklyn Saturday.
And Ubers, man. I spent so much money. I'm actually happy I spent money on Uber now. If that knew they was protesting on the track.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to keep people off the third rail because, you know, a lot of motherfuckers don't know what's going on.
That's the one that kill you, jumping around.
Third
rail kill you.
Crazy, man.
I don't know. I
know that from Beach Street.
You ever have people who look just like you? I have a bizarro doppelganger.
Okay.
Mine
is on this motherfucking show called The Tulsa King, and everybody says my career is over.
Hilarious. Because
the black kid on The Tulsa King is me, and he's better and fun. Or some
pull
shit
him
like
up,
that.
Now. Let's see who's this black dude on Tulsa King. Go through the Tulsa King cast, see if anybody looks like Derek. Yeah.
Cause, no, they said one nigga, a black dude was like, "Yo, I love you on The Tulsa King." I said, "God damn, I'm done."
Wait a minute, you talked about that before, though. When you started off, people used to say you had a joke about how people compared you to Will Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And you would go like, "What the fuck? I'm looking like a struggling father out here."
When there's a Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith. Like,
yeah.
Not sleeping in bathrooms.
So you shook that one off. Who else did you look like for a while?
Is it this guy?
Who's that?
The black guy.
Jay Will?
Is it Jay Will? Yep, they saying that's me.
Jay Will?
They saying Jay Will is me from the Tulsa King.
Did you find any other pictures of Jay Will?
Yep, look at it, look. His hair and the fucking.
That's lazy.
There's no
There's
way.
A similarity,
that
but that's lazy.
That's me. Lazy.
That's late. That's on
he has a beard.
You are very lazy with your black people.
Somebody said, "Yo, I love you from Tulsa." I said, "No."
And I get it. I could probably do that to an Asian person.
Can you pull up Darian Ellis from.
Darian Ellis.
She's from New York. You know Darian Ellis?
No, good. Pull
he's
up.
Pull up Dar- he's, no, he tried, but he's an actor. Okay. He's an actor. He was on Jermaine Fowler's show on CBS.
Friends of the People?
Donuts.
Okay.
He was on...
what's his name again? Brian Ellis?
Darian Ellis.
Darian
Ellis. Pull him up. So he... I saw he's always a bizarro me.
Okay.
So I saw him saying he's going hard. Justice for... I was like, come on, dog. You fueling the...
All right. I got to see him now.
How do you spell his name? It's not coming up.
D-A-R-I-S.
Hold on a second. Look up Superior Donuts.
Okay.
Justice for... Justice for... And they be screaming justice for the homeless dude.
Yeah. And it's like, you always like, no, just let this shit play out. It's not... This was just an altercation on the train to get out of hand. There's
now,
no racial
happened,
element.
Though? Now, I'm going to tell you, oh, what happened? Yeah. They got on the train. Dude's on there, you know, barking around doing what they do. And, you know, somebody decided, hey, they're not putting up with this shit. You know what I mean? They jump
this
behind
guy?
Him.
Yeah. That's
that
my...
That's funny.
Yeah, so we...
so, yeah.
Damn. So he's my bizarro alter ego. You know what I'm saying?
No, you his bizarro alter ego.
So, but he's like the opposite of me. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Why you always gotta be everything ain't racist, everything. You know what I'm saying? It was just some
two
fucked up
on
shit.
The train. Why? Because here's
and don't act like you've never seen somebody on a train.
Well, here's the
doing
thing.
Too much.
Here's the thing that bothers me. Well, not bothers me about it, but I look at the hypocrisy in it. Where it's like, okay, right now they're pushing. There's so many homeless people down there. They've been pushing them down there to get them off the streets to make it look like the streets are safer. All right, mm-hmm. So the subways are like that because the city is pushing them down there. Now y'all are supposed to have y'all making this announcement. There's a cop at every platform. Every time it take like an extra 30 seconds for the doors to close because they keep announcing there are black and white officers on every platform. If you need help. There's an officer on every platform.
Dang.
So how the fuck if a train is delayed? I don't know whether he got choked at the station or while
he was
going.
He was on the train.
But I mean, I don't know whether the train is moving to being held at the station because they fighting. But it's like, how is somebody getting choked for 15 minutes and is a cop on a platform not doing nothing?
Mm. But you know, yeah, you have to think, you know, this is a big system. That system's going to fall through the cracks.
Right.
And then you can't. And what I don't
well,
like
we was all
people...
defund the police for a while. So if you look at cops, just in the, they on their phone. You could choke whoever you want. Cops ain't getting involved with shit right now. No, it's defund us.
They can come and say, hey.
Yeah,
they were just standing around for a long time.
We did this to ourselves. You know what I mean? Like,
all right, you better don't persist them on this podcast.
Oh, no, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to put that other thing on there. They're waiting to get these robot dogs going. So they want
to
show how incompetent the people dog is so that they can get these robot dogs down there.
Robot dogs.
We saw... They have some of those in Seattle, but they're not the dogs. They're just
those, they got them in San Fran, don't they?
Those big cone
tower thing.
Tower,
yeah.
Like, hey, back away.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. You are not supposed
them
to.
Demolition Man joints.
Yeah, it's not. It really can't do. You can juke it out. Them dogs. I don't know if you can juke them dogs.
Yeah. Black Mirror
and they've been showing us the videos.
Did a thing on it. Black Mirror already did a thing on it. Like this shit, they come with guns on their shoulders and they start murdering everybody.
Hey. Yeah, I was in Frankfurt in February and I saw.
That was a flex. Just in January.
That wasn't Frankfurt. Not even dope like that. Now
I heard Frankfurt, Germany is pretty nice.
No, it's not. It's boring.
It's not. It's boring.
Berlin.
Man.
That's what we spoke
back.
Of.
But Berlin is the spot. Okay. Thanks, Aunt.
Das headquarters. So I saw in Frankfurt, it was two guys with some machine guns, and they were walking with one of those dogs.
Yeah,
I was like, now that's gangster.
Yeah.
We done.
Yeah, that's gangster. There's no more corner boys. You know, imagine the future, the corner boys running from robots.
Yeah,
that's how. Do you think that's what rap gangster rap's going to be? Ooh. Running from the robot dog.
Especially in that language that they talk.
First rapper to come, his arm has been shot off by the laser dog and shit.
Laser dog, bro.
Laser dog snipped me. Beep, 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 beep. Laser beep got me.
Robo dog took me, bruv.
And it sounds just like Cardi B ad-libs. No, or Playboy Cardi ad-libs.
Do you think, man?
You have heard Playboy Cardi ad-libs?
I've seen a Playboy Cardi, but I don't be caring. I'm an old
if you
man.
Listen, if you get high and just listen to Playboy Cardi, like, whatever he's saying, but it's that second tier.
I know. What is that like? Because you make music, and you're in the studio when people are recording. When somebody goes back and just does the ad-libs over, what is that like
is that
as a producer sitting there?
Motherfucker just going, yeah!
Hey!
I've seen, but you know what? Sometimes it's so much fun in the moment because you know what's been going. You know what's going on and where they're putting it.
It's lit. Yeah,
okay.
But if you walk into someone, that's fine. Because there's like a TikTok or something of just Playboy Cardi doing those ad-libs on the cheese. So he probably gets more fucked up coming back to the ad-libs. That's
and who
so
was the first first person I remember to do that was DMX. Because I remember my homie, actually, we thought DMX was corny when he first came out because it felt like he was adding his own ad-libs for the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always like,
come on!
Come on! And it's like, that's in the song already. Like,
yeah, I think people have been doing ad-libs.
What is this? This is
oh, yeah, that's it.
Oh. Oh my god.
What the fuck?
That's hilarious,
what
dog.
The fuck? He sounded like a drunk bee.
What the
that
fuck?
That was a bumblebee.
And his homie just sitting there
like,
next to him.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, man, he went like this, like, hey, I'm rolling.
What the Cardi. In the Tourette?
Hey, I always say this. There's a fine line.
And he's in the dark. That was night vision camera that you saw. So he's in the dark.
In the dark.
Doing it.
And he and him and his man just sitting in the dark.
Yeah.
I'm rolling, Cardi. Go ahead.
Go, guys. Go.
Yeah, one more.
So, like, for that, do you think he's even doing them where they go, or he's just recording them and the guy's going to cut them and put them in there?
Well, he could do several ways. But I think, that's what I'm saying, in the moment, he's caught off on that whatever that beat. Because we're not hearing the beat him rapping. So that's why it looks hilarious.
He's on zone,
but he's in the zone.
Yeah. But from outside looking in,
from outside, that's what I'm saying. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like,
sitting
he probably hears stuff.
Jackass.
He knows where he wants it.
Have you ever heard anybody like try to create a new sound for ad lib and you're just like, that ain't it. That's not going on.
No, because I'm more of a, I make the beats. So like, I'm rarely in the studio. Like my little cousin is a rapper. I saw him do it. Mick Jenkins. You heard
okay.
Of Mick Jenkins?
I know. So I heard of Mick Jenkins.
Baby cousin, who's just, my little cousin, who's 10 times more famous than me, which is crazy. But you know, he's hip hop, so he's not gonna be making them goofy noises. It's you know what I'm saying? Like everybody did like or you double up something you say.
Yeah.
You become your own hype man.
Yeah.
You know, and now that you ain't gotta be rushed for studio time, you can just stay in there all night and just fuck around.
Yeah. Because,
you know, studio time now ain't what it was in the 90s and 2000s. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to charge $500.
What are you saving your money for? Studio time.
Studio time. Now you be in your crib. You can be in a car. You can be. The future's crazy.
Studio time.
Right?
Robot dogs and mobile studios.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That go hand in hand.
Even now with all these.
What my robot dog?
They got so much AI that does so much shit for you now, man. Like,
that's what the writer's strike is about.
I was just talking to him.
We going up against the machine.
Buddy. And they gonna keep putting it in there.
It's crazy, dog. This is a flex. You can see me in Helsinki, Finland on June 15th at the Supercell offices, and it's a mobile game company.
Uh-huh.
They do Clash of Clans games. So I'm doing a show for them June 15th, and I'm doing the music part where I'm just doing raps about their games. So I told ChatGPT, yo, ChatGPT, write me a rap about Clash of Clans, da 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 da. I got the beats.
Right. And the crazy thing is, it'll give you a starting point.
It'll give you a starting point.
If you got tighten it up.
Ad libs, and then you can get real detail. So it's a character. It's like the barbarian in Clash of Clans is that main dude, the character, right? And then the archer is like this lady character who does arches. So I'm doing like a love story between them two. I said, write a love song between the barbarian and
you
describe the characters. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
That
and
shit happened
surprised.
Under 10 seconds.
The crazy thing is, you might not know about the shit and you might think the shit is cheesy or whatever, but the motherfuckers who into it, they be like, oh my God.
This is the office where they make us up. This is like, it's a corporate gig. So I'm like, you go to a corporate gig, this guy was funny. I do stand up, but he came back, he did some raps about our product.
Yeah.
And we're drinking after work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me that money and I'm out.
There you go.
Good for
That's
you,
right.
man.
Let's go to Helsinki.
Euro Babylon ain't no joke.
Hell yeah.
Euro Babylon. Babylonian. Gigs.
That's what I got to get.
He a passport bro. Mm. That's my nigga.
Oh yeah. I've been That's a passport bro before a passport bro.
I was
bro.
A passport bro before all this shit.
Yeah.
Call my dick Carmen San Diego, you Nick.
Said, I've been a passport bro since Windows 95, nigga.
There
what?
You go, boy.
That's going to be his book, From Passport Bro to Tinder Baby.
When they were selling mouse pads at the they were selling mouse pads at the Circuit City, nigga.
Right.
I was already fucking the mural bitch.
Say something.
Dude.
And I will say, yeah, I got into a beef back in Chicago on social media.
All right, so.
Social media beef?
And I'm almost like, I'm embarrassed, but it's like.
Yeah, because you seem grown and too calm for that. So tell us what happened here. What happened here?
Here's the thing. Just tell me if I'm wrong. You okay. Got it. I really love Chicago comedy. I love my city. Like y'all love where y'all from, right?
Absolutely.
You love where you're from, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this comic there who's been doing comedy 4 years, who is good. So that gives them the. And they young, so social media is what they do. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? We came up in MySpace.
Yeah.
Anybody doing that shit on MySpace days. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I've known you since 04. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing her doing these Facebook lives and people just liking it. She's like, Chicago comedy ain't shit, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bitch, what are you saying? It's like the best.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like one of the best places to do comedy. What mm-hmm. the fuck are you talking? Respect the goddamn game. And all kinds. Improv, too. Whatever you want to do,
shit,
right?
Right.
And then she came back on this other post, and she said, you old dry, unfunny Dave Chappelle, fake nigga, da-da-da.
Oh, so you said something on her post.
I said something, not about
on
her,
live.
But about somebody else's post, because someone else is like, yo, I hate when people be talking shit, and da-da-da-da.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, people ain't left Chicago, ain't done shit, but still talking. You can't do that. Just work on the game, right?
Right, right, right.
She tags me talking all this shit, like, not black girl magic, black girl tragic. Type of behavior.
Black girl tragic.
Black girl tragic behavior.
Black girl tragedy.
Okay. And I'm like, yo, it's like, you disrespected me, and it was took niggas like me to allow your black ass to do shows on the north side.
Yeah.
Because I came up when Zanies was never hiring nigga.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I came up before it was just Lincoln Lodge and Jokes and Notes, where mm-hmm. I came up the Black Comedy Club. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? I paid my fucking dues. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? I broke down those barriers. It wasn't no black people at Laugh Factory back in the day. That was me.
Right, right, right.
Saying, yo, you need to put, you gonna talk shit on me?
Right, right.
And at some point, I'm like, should I apologize for this? Should I say, oh no, I'm gonna just let you talk cash shit and you don't understand how social media works where you feel you can just yap, 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 yap. And where it's comments and no one can say something different to you. And
right.
then you call people out. I ain't apologizing for shit.
Nah, you don't have to apologize at all. There's no need for it on that aspect.
No need for it on that aspect.
I'll say this. I'm learning, and this is a process, that lions don't concern themselves with the opinions of sheep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So it's one of those things where, we can get online and talk shit about the president all day
yep.
long.
Yep.
If the president responds, That looks bad on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
don't look bad on me. Look bad on you.
Can you imagine if we just out there talk? Because everybody be online talking shit, cash yeah. shit about the president.
Joe Biden, what you say, yeah. pussy ass nigga?
Yeah.
Really?
He's like,
you see that meme? All you bitch ass motherfuckers.
Yeah.
All that AI not, Joe Biden.
This is the chief. This is him.
Like, y'all exist because of me. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I didn't build this shit,
I
but I'm running
that
shit.
Button, like,
and there's shit going on for y'all as a result of the work that I've done even before I was in office.
I feel you, man. It's just like, and I don't want to say nothing. It's like,
okay.
I don't know, man. It's just like this.
They're kids.
The thing is, they're kids.
Yo, here's the crazy thing. I remember me and my homies talking about this during the pandemic because he sent me a video. We was both dealing with how unappreciative our kids had grown to be.
Okay.
And how actually that meant we were doing great, like as men and as fathers. True. Like if you got kids that are spoiled and feel like they can make it in this world without you, it's because you provided that kind of environment.
That comfort.
Okay.
Right. And he had a video of his daughter in her bed. She laid down staring at the ceiling going, I hate daddy. I hate daddy. I hate that. And it's like, he's like, yo, dude, I fucking made it. Like, look at this. Like, my daughter.
My child acting like a white child who had everything.
Yeah, wow.
Because you know
That's
what?
That's a cool way to look at it.
Think about, like, you know
this
what I'm saying?
This bitch privileged.
I remember my aunt, my father's sister used to tell me, because I probably was different than her kids, like, see, your mama raised you like you white.
Yeah.
She would always say shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you had to stay in line. Because when you in poverty, fuses go off quick
because
motherfuckers are stressed the fuck out. We have like backyards and
white.
You know what I'm saying? Backyards and blah, blah, blah. Your whole shit be loosey goosey. Uh-huh.
Loosey goosey.
Your shit be loosey goosey. Like,
loosey goosey.
Defining authority. Like, I remember I went over to their house and she got mixed. I drank all their Kool Aid. Like ghetto shit. Like you can't come over here and drink all our Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You ever been, put it to you like this. I'll tell you how loosey goosey. You ever been to a barbecue and ate so much you fell asleep outside?
That's loosey goosey. No, that's just
fun,
itis.
You full of itis just in the back. Like, but it's a nice yard.
Yeah.
It's a nice yard. You ain't gotta worry about shit. You just sleep because you ate too many ribs.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful time, man.
So you know what I did? I went out, I said, okay, fine. I went out, I bought my own 5-pound bag of sugar. And my own Kool-Aid, and I just put it in her cabinet.
Yeah.
And she came back. She's like, didn't I tell you to stop drinking my Kool-Aid? She's like, this is my Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I bought it with my money. Then she was like, see, your mother raised you like you white. Like, who was this little 6-year-old nigga buying shit in defiance of me?
Proving a point here.
Proving a point. Like, I have my own sugar and my own Kool-Aid.
Can I have some of your water? That's supposed to be free.
Yeah. Okay, if you problem with the water.
If she didn't offer you the water, that's a petty motherfucker.
You a petty bitch. Okay.
Yeah. You a petty bitch. You a petty bitch. You kids some water.
Like,
he got the sugar and the Kool-Aid. Give him some water.
Because the thing is, I was like, okay. I left the house, went to the corner store. Give me 5 packs of Kool-Aid and a pound of sugar there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 6 years old. Yeah. With cash.
Bitch is tripping off of Kool-Aid.
This bitch only tripping about Kool-Aid like we fucking poor or something.
Nah. You don't owe that girl an apology. Stop throwing rocks at the motherfucking castle, lady.
Yeah.
People don't understand it, but that's what it is. It's a childlike mentality, man.
And I did a savage reply.
Oh no.
And Jesus, hey nigga, delete that.
Yeah.
And it was out there for like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Let me delete that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I went in.
Yeah.
Said things about their physical appearance and like a you want to get niggerish?
Yeah.
You want to get Southside?
Wait. Oh, you want a nigger? Nigger here now.
Here
see?
It is. Like, on my friend. Okay.
40-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
Nigger here now. See.
I am curious. Where do celebrities put all of their awful thoughts? They got to write them down somewhere.
Somewhere.
Right? Yeah, cocaine. Hey, put that line right there. Yeah.
So they remove the dirty thoughts with the white line.
Yeah.
It's an exchange.
It's a little eraser.
I got you.
This is a good episode, Brian, man. Thank you for coming in.
Hey, I'm here in the building, man.
Thank you for rocking out with us.
Hey, we brothers, dog.
Yeah.
Like, I'm making moves.
I'm glad to have you here. New York needs you, man.
I'm ready.
New York got Brian Babylonian.
Brian, where can the people find you if they're looking for you online?
You know, I'm really pushing. Of course, all my social media is at Brian Babylon, B-R-I. I'm not white. A-N. B-A-P-Y-L-O-N. But I'm really pushing my music. So you can, all my music videos are on my YouTube page. You can just Google Babylon Audio Dynamite.
That'll pull it up. That'll pull up a YouTube page. Is it called YouTube, Babylon Audio Dynamite?
Yeah, there's a playlist, Babylon Audio Dynamite, and I'm adding new music videos definitely once a week.
Okay, no doubt.
I'm Babylon.
Good shit.
Yeah, and then I'm in, any European people, I'm back in Berlin. June 2nd. I'll be there for a month. Popping around, handle business.
Nat, while we closing out, say goodbye to the people. And can you pull up his YouTube page?
Yeah,
play a track
absolutely.
To go out. What's it? Give the name of the page one more time.
Babylon Audio Dynamite. And
this is funny to watch Natalie's head pop as she's like, "I'm supposed to be signing off, but I'm looking things up at the same time." Uh-huh.
And I don't know which.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
She'll just pick one and play.
Of course,
it was funny to do. I realized she was in the booth by herself, but she handles it well. That's Han Solo over there.
Is this right?
Yeah. So we'll play a track closing out. Yeah, we'll play close the track.
Give me a hot one.
Tell the people. Well, hold on. Not yet. Not yet. We'll close out with it. But Natalie, say goodbye to the people.
Follow me at Natalie DiCicco Edits on Instagram and watch Gas Digital Now on YouTube.
All right. Derek, what you got to say, man?
Hey, make sure y'all watch Bupkis. It's on Peacock. It's out now.
I got to watch the first episode of Bupkis.
He reads scripts.
Happy to see Derek in there early, too. Derek pops up like 4 minutes into the episode.
You're doing good.
Yeah,
that's good,
man. Amazing concept, too, of a fucking story. Amazing concept. A grandfather hanging out with his grandson because he realized that I don't even know this nigga. That's pretty cool, man.
Ah, you don't know Bupkis.
You don't know Bupkis.
Okay.
Bupkis is the new wave of comedy. Make sure you check it out. It's getting good reviews.
Nice.
Matter of fact, it's getting fantastic reviews. I was just good to be a part of a cool project. Shout out to my nigga Pete Davis.
Nice.
Word.
All right.
I love y'all, man.
Yeah, man. And follow me on social media. I'm Dave Temple on all platforms and the podcast, NNFA Podcast, on all platforms. Thank you guys for coming out. Go ahead, Natalie. Give us a little Brian Babylon beat to play out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. No need for apologies.
Galera.